This is Willard Thompson inviting you to join us once more for a visit behind scenes with the men responsible for educational radio, the men who direct the universities of the air. These are the men who formulate policies, who help to decide what will be heard and when. And our guests today are Mr. Bernard Buck, news editor of station WNYC, New York City, Mr. Gail Adkins, program director of the University of Texas, and Mr. Hugh Mix, program director of station WNAD, the University of Oklahoma. First, Mr. Buck, would you tell us of some of the problems faced in trying to program for the world's largest city?
Well, it may be the largest city, but I don't think it's the most important. Coming out here has been quite an experience for me in knowing what's being done in another part of the country. As was mentioned by one of our guests, we're just as provincial in New York City as anybody in any other area, in our individual ways, of course. To start with, WNYC operates on AM and FM in an area of about 20 square miles with a population of about 15 million people covering the greater New York area. I don't want to speak too extendedly on this first picture that we're trying to present here, so with those few things to get out of our way, possibly the other members of the group will present a general view of their own areas.
Yeah. Our chief problem is in covering a vast area such as the state of Texas without having a radio station. At the University of Texas, we have what we call Radio House, which is simply a production unit. For the past 10 years, we have been attempting to, as the motto goes, extend the boundaries of the campus to the borders of the state through radio by using the commercial outlets in the state of Texas. We program our series and our individual shows over the four commercial stations in Austin, over the state networks, and by transcription over other stations in the state. In that way, we attempt to service the whole state with educational and public service programs.
At Oklahoma in Norman, we have two stations, the AM station and the FM station, and perhaps we cover a bit more territory as far as miles are concerned than Mr. Buck from NYC, but certainly not as many people. We have our own special problems in the matters of various cultures. I suppose you could say that we have roughly four types of cultures to which we program. They overlap somewhat. They're not clearly divided. But we have the pioneer element, since the pioneering history of Oklahoma is fairly recent. And in that line, we present a lot of historical material, historical type programs. Then, of course, we have the Indian population, some 80,000 of them, I believe. And we present Indian programs. One time such program is a half-hour program per week of Indian folk dances, songs, and a bit of gossip from around the state, conducted by the chief of the Sacinfox tribe. And then we have the more modern culture element, I suppose you could call it, that we program to them by means of news programs, music, and various programs of science and things of that sort. And we have also the farm population. Now, strangely enough, although we do have quite a large farm population, we don't do much programming to them because we don't have the facilities, the personnel to do that type of program. The University of Oklahoma does not have an agricultural division. Their agriculture work is taken care of in the Oklahoma A&M College of Stillwater, so we do not program to that group. What different types of cultures would you say you have in New York City, Bernie?
Well, Hugh, we have a great number, and all the major religions of the world are represented. All the major racial strains and cultures are represented in New York, from the very dominant ones, such as the Italian population, the German groups, the Jewish people in various parts, the Negro population, and then the subgroups, the Irish, which may really come under one of the dominant classifications. And, of course, New York has been labeled a world capital. As such, we have to take pretty much a world view of things. In order to be of service and do things of interest to as many people as possible in our area.
It's a practical impossibility to program to them separately.
But a worthwhile goal, we feel. How about you, Gail? What are the differences in your place?
Well, in Texas, we have three main racial groups which we must consider. The Anglo-American group, of course. And secondly, the colored group, which we have not turned much attention to in terms of special programming, and perhaps it is necessary, since there's no language problem involved. But it is with the Latin American group, which in Texas is quite extensive, that we do have some special problems. In the southern part of the state, just across the border from Mexico, the Mexican population is dominant. And that group over the state amounts to a large number of people. Even in the state capital of Austin, we have one station, one of the four commercial stations, which programs about 80% to the Latin American element. And we have attempted to furnish that station with Spanish language programs for the past several years. We, at present time, for instance, are doing a series in Spanish for the Latin American, one of the Latin American schools in Austin. We are also doing a health series, which we send to the Austin station, and then, typical of our operation, we put it on transcription and send it to Corpus Christi, where there's a large Mexican population. We have sent those transcriptions to the Valley and so on. Incidentally, our service is to a large extent based on rebroadcast activity.
I believe I forgot to mention in Oklahoma the religious element in our population. Oklahoma, as you may know, is often referred to as the Bible Belt, and accordingly we have a good deal of programming for that element as well. I believe you mentioned schools in particular. Gail, do you do any programming specifically for school children as such?
Yes, we have the Texas School of the Air, which is, I think, about 10 years old now. That started operating over one of our state networks, the Texas Quality Network, and was originally set up on one broadcast per day, 5 days a week. We produce at the University of Texas two of the shows for the Texas School of the Air. We also produce a weekly health series for in-school listening in Austin. And under the auspices of the Junior League, we produce a folklore series for in-school listening. On the whole, our educational service is not directed toward in-school listening, however.
Well, that differs from my own situation in New York. I'd like to point out something Hume mentioned about the religious emphasis given in this programming. Being a non-commercial, municipally owned station, WNYC cannot broadcast religious programs of any kind because of the possibility of offending any one group. And actually, we have 8 million stockholders, or citizens of New York, and they make their protests and commendations known as stockholders of any organization would do. So our main function seems to be to translate the government of New York City to the people, and that would not include religious broadcasting of any kind. As far as in-school broadcasting, the city operates through its Board of Education, WNYE, which is an FM station, and expanding its program through the New York City school system. And although one of the purposes of the municipally owned station, WNYC, is to provide entertainment and education, we do carry some of those broadcasts. Even though they're intended primarily for school children, they are wide enough interest to have a listenership among the general population.
Well, you, of course, are there in New York where you have the United Nations, too. Do you have any opportunity to carry any of their material?
Yes, it's one of the things we pride ourselves on and hope we can extend it to other stations somehow. We carry all the major sessions of the United Nations in their entirety by assigning our AM radio to that job. Our regularly scheduled programs continue on WNYC FM during those periods. Also at night we have a special UN summary from Lake Success, as well as carrying the UN services that are extended to all stations throughout the country.
I might add that we have in some way been instrumental in bringing the United Nations radio broadcast to Texas. The Liberty Network, which is essentially a Texas network, although it does cover some of the surrounding states, numbers about 150 stations. And we, through a certain amount of promotion, were able to convince the Liberty Network that they should carry some of the United Nations transcribed shows. And they have been carried very faithfully. And I believe Dr. Lewis and the United Nations organization is quite pleased with the support from that part of the country.
What's the UN picture in Oklahoma, Hugh?
Well, we have, of course, the regular transcribed programs, such as the UN story that are put out by the Public Relations Department of the United Nations. And then we get programs from various other groups, such as Chambers of Commerce, the United World Federalists, and religious groups of all sorts who are promoting various work among the UN. I might go back and explain briefly about how we work this religious programming so as not to run against the conflict which you mentioned in New York City. We have the Ministerial Alliance, which is composed of ministers of all faiths, including Catholic and Jewish, and includes the YW and YMCA. That, of course, would be a practical impossibility, I suppose, in New York City. And so they, among themselves, decide what type of programs will be broadcast and thereby avoid any conflicts.
I think we might discuss in the minute remaining what services we provide that are not available elsewhere. I'll start by saying that we broadcast a major portion of the classical music heard in New York City, although there are a great number of other outlets which don't provide the service to musicians and people who are interested in music in the area. Let's hear from the others.
Well, in our case, we have avoided producing many music shows. We have felt that that is a field of activity in which the commercial radio stations can and should serve primarily. However, in times of desperate need, we at Radio House have furnished classical music and serious music shows for the local stations.
Well, I think our main function down there, as far as programming is concerned, is in relation to these minority groups that I mentioned, such as the Indians and, of course, to the school children. Those types of programs are not very feasible for commercial stations and from the economic standpoint, and so we provide services of that type, which cannot be obtained elsewhere.
Well, don't you believe that even though we are in vastly different parts of the country, that our problems do add up to be about the same?
I'd agree to that.
That is, our intents are about the same, but they do have differences peculiar to our own sections of the country.
I think that sums it up pretty well.
Well, I'm sorry, gentlemen, but time is up. I do want to thank you for your cooperation. This was the last in a series of visits behind scenes in educational radio, the Universities of the Air. Our guests today were Mr. Bernard Buck, news editor of station WNYC, New York City, Mr. Gail Adkins, program director of the University of Texas, and Mr. Hugh Mix, program director of station WNAD, the University of Oklahoma. This was a tape-recorded feature of the University of Illinois Radio Service.